Welcome to episode number 316 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk a little bit about humble pie and our parenting. That's right. We're going to talk a little bit today about the necessity to keep it humble whenever we do our parenting, or else we kind of become self-righteous jerks, and it doesn't give us the opportunity to grow. Why is it so important for us to be humble, and why is it so important for our kids to see us being humble? Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to that next level. Today is July the 9th, 2014. Our topic today is eating a little humble pie in our parenting. That's right. Today we're going to talk a little bit about not only the benefits, but also what I believe to be the necessity to keep humbleness in our parenting, because when we don't, we have a tendency to morph into something that is not good and then create the very thing in our kids that we say we hate. Nobody likes an arrogant, prideful kid. We want kids that are willing to learn and willing to acknowledge what they are and not grow up thinking they all that in a bag of potato chips, you know? How do we create that in kids? It's very possible. Stay tuned for that. Let's get into some housekeeping real quick. If you guys want to get notified of all the new episodes that come out of the Family Podcast, go to thefamilypodcast.com. Right-hand side, enter in your name and your email address. When you do that, you get put on a special list of folks that we have so few people that ever unsubscribe from that because people love it. But it just lets you know, hey, here's what we talked about today. Come check us out. Just to remind you to not miss that one episode that if you just could have heard it today, it could have made everything different in your life. Guys, also don't forget to go like us on Facebook. As usual, thanks to all the folks out there that like this show over on Facebook. Every time you do, you bump me up in the listings on Facebook. We do appreciate it. Also, don't forget, if you want to support us, 30 cents per episode, you can become a P-Tacker. Whenever you do that, you can go to thefamilypodcast.com, click on that little middle bad boy that says become a member. Whenever you do that, you get exclusive access to stuff that is only available to P-Tackers, from discounts from the folks we've had on the show, all the way down to you get unadulterated access to asking me questions. You get prioritized above everybody else, so if there's a topic that you want to hear, you can get that. We are running a contest right now. We had two slots open. One of them was for a free PTAC membership. That one has already been won. The next one is you can get a PTAC membership for $30 off. That's right. For the very low price of $20, you can become a PTAC member, support that, and get all of that good stuff that is attached with being a PTACer. So consider becoming one of those. You can do it as simple as $5 a month, man. Cheap. $5 a month. You can do it at $50 for an entire year and save some money. Either way, consider doing that. Guys, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, something you want to hear about us put on the show, contact us. You can always call us 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT and the number 0. You can send us a comment through the comment sections. We're working on getting the SpeakPipe app up. For whatever reason, that is not wanting to work. Even though everything shows that it should be working, it is not wanting to display on the website. So we're about to issue a tech services request to SpeakPipe and see what's going on and see if we can't get that figured out. So anyway, we'll try to get that back up for you guys. But until then, give us a call, 661-PARENT-0. Leave your question. Make sure you ask your question first and give you details. We'll see about getting your question on the show. All right, guys. Let us wrap up the housekeeping for today and jump into our topic, which is humble pie in our parenting. So I want to talk a little bit about the key crucialness in humbleness when it comes to being parented. There's no doubt every single one of us mess up. Frankly, the way we've built the show here is that there's not a single person here, I would be willing to bet, that has some kind of doubt as to whether they mess up or not. We built this show as a way to be a safe place to say, listen, we screw up, we make mistakes, we do things that we shouldn't, we say things that we shouldn't, we treat our kids in ways that we shouldn't. And what is the qualifier of a good or a bad parent isn't whether or not we screw up. But the problem is that we have a tendency to avoid these mess ups. We don't want to talk about them. We want people to see us as being successful and tell us how good we're doing. We want them to see us with our well-behaved kids, etc. And so we have a tendency to, if not downplay, we totally avoid the mess ups that we have in our life. So that way we can focus on the successes. Now, I want y'all to hear me say, there's nothing wrong with focusing on success. There's nothing wrong with exemplifying the successes that you've had in your life. But sometimes when we're not careful, that kind of thing can grow out of control. And I've seen people become self-righteous. And they use that self-righteousness as some kind of ammo against others. And they do the worst possible thing is they use it against other parents. And when they do that, they encourage other parents to withdraw within themselves and to not let stuff out and to not talk about their mistakes or their screw-ups or their problems or the issues that they know they need to get better at. And it further propagates the cycle. It rolls it over cyclically. I think I said that right. But we don't get anywhere. And the people that need us to be getting somewhere the most, our kids in this case, are stuck in the crossfire. Who suffers? It's always the kids, right? There's an old saying, and I tell you, it operates very true in situations like these. But there's an old saying that says, when it comes to ourselves, we have a tendency to judge our motives, right? So whenever we do something, whether it was right or wrong, whenever we look at ourselves, we have a tendency, this is not true of everybody. Some people are very self-loathers, and they really beat themselves up. But when we look at ourselves, we have a tendency to judge the motive. So if we move into something, we make a bad choice as parenting. You know, we think about things like, oh, well, I was trying to be a good parent. I was doing the best thing that I knew. You know, I really thought this would help them out, right? You know, I mean, fundamentally, even if we see it as a complete failure, we evaluate ourselves based off of what our motive was. However, we have a tendency with other people, we judge the action, period. We take a look at what people do and we see them and how they act. So if we see somebody, you know, a majority of folks that listen to the show have given up on spanking for stuff that works a little better. And we look at other spankers and we have a tendency to look down on them very self-righteously. And we look at what they're doing and say, well, they're hitting their kids, they're being violent with their kids. And while I don't necessarily disagree with that, we often don't look at the motivation. Not when we look at other kids. Funny enough, this is not what this topic is about today, but we do that with our kids as well. We have a tendency to judge our actions based on the motive, what we meant from it, and we judge our kids' actions based off of what they did, right? But here at FPN, we don't define a quote-unquote bad parent as a quantification of all your rights and wrongs. So your good parental meter isn't indicative of how many good things you did versus how many bad things that you did, or how many wrong things that you did. We base the idea of what a good parent is off of a couple of things. Number one, your willingness to acknowledge that you have an issue, that there's something that you're doing. Or what I think is more common and more destructive is when maybe we're doing something that works, but we're not evaluating, is there something better? Spanking is one of those things. People will argue with me, Trey, spanking works, to which I say, agreed. Agreed it works. We're not arguing here at the Family Podcast Network whether or not spanking works. It does work. We spanked our first kid. We started spanking our second. We gave it up with both of them, totally have dumped it with our third and our fourth and now our fifth. Although our fifth is our foster to adopt kiddo, and she was spanked. In her previous household. But we're breaking that with her as well. So we say, what is a good parent? It's our willingness to either acknowledge that something sucks, that something that we're doing just doesn't work, or acknowledging that it doesn't work as good as we think it does. A lot of people assume that because we get obedience out of our children when we spank them, for instance. I'm sorry to dog on spanking. If anybody is still out there spanking, I don't harbor any hurtfulness towards you at all. I get it. But the more common trap is that we see that something works, but we don't ask ourselves, could we make it better? You know, Jeff Emery and I, we run the Friday show here called the Real Family Guys Podcast. And one of the things that we've talked over there frequently is that, you know, there's certain people out there that compete, and their competitive level is a whole nother level. So, I've ridden bikes all my life. And I've had mountain bikes, 10, 15, 21 speed bikes, and I've loved those bikes, right? But there is a certain subset of groups of folks out there who take biking to a whole new level. And they look for ways to redesign and rebuild their bicycles off the factory, out of the factory, to try to make them just that much faster. And they'll make slipstream bars that cut the wind better, and they set designs that allow them to slipstream better. I mean, they just do tons of stuff to their bikes. Just little things that, you know, are just amazing to make themselves just that much faster, that shorter of a time that they have when they do the race, that much quicker than the other person. And that's what we're talking about today, is that a lot of folks don't try to take their parenting and augment it, and they stay a great mediocre parent. Maybe they stay a great high-end mediocre parent, but they never look for, how do I take my parenting to that next level? So when we define a good parent, what we're talking about are those people that are willing to acknowledge a problem, but that's not enough. There's a lot of people out there that acknowledge, I have a problem with food. I have a problem with not exercising. I have a problem with gossip, right? There's tons of people out there that acknowledge they have a problem, but what do they not do? They don't do changes. They don't make any changes. They don't do anything different. They keep repeating the same issue over and over and over. So the other piece to what we call a good parent here at the Family Podcast Network is those people that are willing to take a look at, this is a problem, and they make changes. Even when it's hard, even when it's tough, they make those changes. So sometimes we need to humble ourselves, to remind ourselves that we have issues going on. And the only thing that distinguishes me from a mediocre parent is, am I working on these things? You know, using the word humble as a verb, it means to lower our importance. And I think that's one of the things that we do. We become kind of a parental narcissistic, and we begin to see ourselves in some kind of grandiose light, that because we have these experiences and, you know, knowledge and all these other things over our children, that it makes us some kind of elevated status. And sometimes I think we need to reduce ourselves back down to one simple fact. We are human beings. And that's it. Just like our kids, we're human beings. Feelings, emotions, thoughts, ideas, screw-ups and all. So today I want to encourage you. Get ready to slice yourself some humble pie today. I want to make sure that we're clear that this is not a show about making you feel bad about what you're doing or what, in some cases, maybe you're not doing. The idea behind today is that if we want to be genuinely exceptional, we have to acknowledge the areas that we're not, and then start working on them. But I think we have this tendency to get to thinking that we are so much more important than we really are. And so I want to take a time today to step back and to look at things honestly in our lives. And I want to be very careful here. I am not using this as some kind of low self-worth show. So this isn't a low self-esteem episode today where I'm feeling like I'm dogging on myself. You know, feel sorry for it. It's not it at all. This has been in the queue to do an episode over this for actually quite a few months now. It was before we left the Casa de Gibson to come here to the Homestead de Gibson. I had this on there. I just hadn't gotten to it. So we're going to take this time today to go over a few of these things. And we're going to cover some, what are some reasons why we need to be humble. And I'm going to give you guys just kind of a five-point list of my biggest areas of humbledness this week. Not where I have been humble, where I've needed to be humbled this week. But why is this whole concept, why is this whole idea of humbleness so important? Well, it's several reasons why. Number one, we need to grow. There's a quote that I heard just the other day from, I can't remember what it was, some kind of HBO show about politicians and whatnot. It's a Jeff Daniels, I can't remember, but it's actually my favorite scene where it talks about the United States is not the greatest country in the world anymore. Wonderful. These guys, I'm as American as they come. I flipping love this country. I think it's one of the best that there is out there in this entire world. but it's not the greatest anymore. But there's a part at the very end after he's kind of gone through his reasons for why we're not, you know, so, quote, star-spangled awesome anymore. As he said, the first step in fixing a problem is acknowledging that there is one. And so I think that in a lot of ways we need to humble ourselves just to remind ourselves that we are not above reproach. We are not above growth. We are not above fixing issues that are going on in our lives. We have them no matter how much experience we have. And funny enough, problematically, even as we get older, it's not that we don't have them anymore. It's just that we feel more entitled to having them. You know? It's like the older we get, the more we think that we are entitled to have our problems and not change. So it's so important for us to grow. Why is it so important for us to grow? Because our kids need us to. Because we're often jerks or mean or grumpy, grouchy. Drives us away from our spouses, our kids, our friends. So it's valuable to grow in these areas because they almost often come at the expense of relationship with other people. Number two, for our reason for cutting that slice of humble pie is that we need our kids to learn it too. We need our kids to see us being humble. And how do we do that? We do that through modeling. Our kids need to see us make mistakes and admit to our mistakes. Our kids need to see us screw stuff up and then fix those issues. And for whatever reason, we have a tendency to hide these things, to hold them in within ourselves, to not open up about what those issues are. Now, guys, I'm not saying that if you have some deep, dark secret of pornography or an affair or some kind of, you know, embezzlement or that kind of thing, that you just open up to your kids. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't do that. There might be a time and a place that it's a great time to bring that up. So I'm not encouraging you to go through all your deepest, darkest secrets with your kid. But what I'm talking about is just those things in daily life when you screw up, when you shout, when you yell, when you don't spend time with them when they ask, when you're too hard on them. Admitting to those things. Letting your kids see that you screw that up. And the only way you can teach these kinds of things to your kids is to model them. Because it doesn't come natural and it's not fun when you do it. The only way for your kids to build this level of humbleness is to see you being humble. Number three, third reason that I identify for why it is that humbleness is so important is that kids need to know that you have weak spots. You know, that's a kind of a thing for us, is that we don't want our kids to see the chinks in our armor. We want them to see us as the strong warrior, impenetrable from the fiery darts of the foe, you know. We want to come off as the super warrior. But the reality is, the best warriors that I've ever seen are the ones that faced their struggles and their weak areas, and they wrestled them to the ground and they got better at them. So kids need to know that you have weak spots. Why? Because so do they. And often they're in greater number because we at least have experience on our hands. And so while we're able to sit down and tie our shoes as full-grown adults, these kids often aren't. And they don't get to see us struggling with these things that are often so dadgum difficult. So we need our kids to see that. This is also important because it's sometimes hard for kids to forgive or to be understanding when they feel like you think you've hung the moon, when you have no humbleness. And so whenever we open ourselves up as finite beings who mess up, who are fallible, we set our kids up to be more forgiving towards us, more understanding, acknowledging of the fact that mom and dad screw up too. So we need to let our kids see these weak spots, these areas where we need to grow in, these things that we do that just aren't right. And we need them to see us, acknowledge them openly and honestly. Very, very powerful thing. I'm telling you, some of the strongest personalities that I have ever seen in my life were birthed through conquering their failures. I mean, this can be everything like the tying the shoe that we talked about, crashing a bike. I mean, gosh dang, even reading can be a failure for us sometimes. As we're learning to read and grow, we fail and we mess it up. Or an Xbox disc getting destroyed. Oh, yeah, that's a story from this week. I've had a game in our household called Modern Warfare Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4, I believe. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. There we go. But I've had that in there since before my son Grant was born. I've actually got pictures of him in a front pack, and I had the little Xbox controller resting on top of his head playing video games, playing that game, funny enough. And my son found that disc this week, and he's like, "Dad, can we play this?" I said, "Sure, buddy." And he played it, and like normal, he took it out and didn't put it back in the case like we talk about. And Bo, our dog, Bo Agrius, our giant schnauzer, came in and found it and chewed that disc. Put a lot of little holes in it. Let's see, that was a failure for my son. And one of the things that I've been working on is working on this humbleness in myself. And I got to see some of it pay off a little bit with my son because he came up. I expected him to fight or to blame it on somebody else or, you know, how he had put it and set it up there. There's no way, Bo. I mean, just, you know, blah, blah, blah. He just walked up to me. He just teared up and said, "Dad, I'm so sorry. I screwed up." Now, I want you to hear me say, this is not because I have been such an amazing model at this for him lately. I have not been nailing it when it comes to this stuff. But he's seen that somewhere. And he brought that in. So some of the best personalities that I've ever met out there, I believe this is a key part of it. This is a key part of helping my kids become some of those strongest personalities that I've seen. It involves me allowing them to have failures, admit that I screwed up, and then change it. You know, the problem is that as parents, we really don't screw up as much as our kids do. We don't screw up whenever we're pouring our milk in a bowl. That's a thing lately where our kids will pour some cereal and they'll put a spoon on top of it and they'll pour their milk and for some reason they aim right at the freaking spoon. Well, you know what happens with that. It's like it creates this beautiful arcing fountain that sends milk everywhere but the gosh dang bowl. But as parents, we don't screw up with stuff like that nearly as much. We don't use the wrong word. I'll tell you a funny story that you guys will appreciate because of Jeff, my co-host for the Real Family Guys podcast. But a while back, this was several years ago, we were working together at a place called New Horizons. And we were sitting there and they're talking, and I was talking about just random unsolicited violence. And so I was trying to say wanton violence. And, of course, I didn't know that what it was. So I said, "Oh, yeah, they got subjected to some wanton violence." And I remember that Jeff turned red, started laughing. So apparently they were going to dine in for Chinese while they had their violence. But wanton tray. And but see, we, you know, our kids don't often get to see us screw up words or use the wrong words in the wrong place, but they often do. You know, most of us as parents hopefully are becoming pretty responsible. We don't shatter our iPhone screens, and they often do. And so whenever we're at that point to where we don't screw up in the little things as much as our kids do, it can be very disparaging for a kid. They can feel like there's something wrong with them. They can feel like they're not getting it right or they're not doing what they should be with, you know, compared to you. So we want our kids being able to understand that. To give kids reminders that we screw up too can help us connect with them in a whole new way. I've had several times where my daughter's become so exacerbated because she's not getting something right or she's not figuring out something with math or whatever else. And I'll come in, I'll say, "You know, when I was a kid, blah, 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 blah." And I'll fill in the story about how I jacked up this one math paper. We really connect on that kind of stuff. So I want to wrap it up today on Trey's top five fails for the last few weeks. These aren't going to be deep or hugely insightful, but I want to go first. I'm going to say all this crap to you guys. I want to be the one to go first. So I want to go through kind of the fails that I've had, the things that I, you know, that humble pie that I shove in, and it's bitter when you eat it, but it's so healthy. You can feel how good it is. So number one, I still yell too much. If you guys haven't listened to it, you need to go listen to the Real Family Guys podcast show called Confessions of a Serial Killer. Serial Yeller. Serial Yeller, not a killer. Serial Yeller. But go to thefamilypodcast.com and click on search for a topic. And when you get to the search for a topic page, you can actually search through all of them, or you can do a find, Control F or Command F if you're on your Mac, and do one for Confessions or Yeller, and find that show. It's an excellent show, but I still yell too much. I still try to use the fear and intimidation of a shout to get my kids to do what I want. And this has been one of those that I've really been, that's been some of that bitter pie we've been munching on the last few weeks. That really, my wife brought it up, just about how yelly I've become. So I'm having to go back through in several situations where I just want to honk at the kids. I'm having to reevaluate and reset myself. And already we're having success. Our daughter, Charlotte, she's our little two-year-old, is at that age now where she gets out of bed. We don't have her in a crib. We have her in a toddler bed, but she gets up. Like at nighttime, we'll put her in bed, get her squared away, and then she'll be back in the living room. So my response is always, Charlotte, get to bed, I'm going to punch you in your face, right? That's been my response up until this point. Corey caught my attention about that the other day, and I've been really working on not hooting and hollering. I just take her, I put her in bed, and say, don't get out of this bed again. And Corey had an experience the other day where Charlotte did it 49 times. She got out of the bed 49 times, and we had to put her back up. But it worked. It worked. It's been getting better and better, but I yell too much, and I've got to stop. I've got to start being more creative, as Jeff would so frequently say, it's just me being lazy. It's lazy parenting is all that is. Number two, I have a tendency to come home and start working. In other words, I don't have time for kids. So I have a tendency to come home and find something to do, work on the house, clean the dishes, sit out, go weed eat the yard, whatever, instead of sitting down with my kids. There's nothing wrong with these tasks. And sometimes, guys, we just have to come home and do some work. But I have a tendency to do it too often. And I'm not spending time with my kids. I'm not giving neither the G, the general attention, or the I, the individual attention. And that's a major problem. Number three, I have a tendency to be uncompassionate with certain things, especially if there's whining involved. Instead of teaching them how to unwind, I have a tendency to just be uncompassionate and apathetic towards them, towards kids. And that's another big piece that I'm really trying to work on, is I'm trying to resensitize my heart to little stuff. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm endorsing whining. That does not mean that I let the whining go or that I let that slide. Let me tell you, I don't have no sense of humor about the whining. But that doesn't mean that I can't take the time to teach my kids how I want them to be compassionate when a little tiny, itty-bitty, almost microscopic boo-boo happens, and there is the smallest, half of a pinhead size drop of blood. That doesn't mean that I can't take the time to be compassionate. A while back, my kid, my son, had scraped himself, and he kept complaining about the scrape, and I was just so uncompassionate towards him. And over this last weekend, we were at my father-in-law's house, and I was practicing some of the self-defense stuff, and what I'd done was I'd set a rolled-up rug, and I was using it as a punching bag, and I decided to throw a roundhouse kick in there. Well, it was the bottom side of a carpet, and I roundhouse kicked it, and let me tell you, that was one serious hell of a scrape I put on my leg. I mean, we're talking carpet burn max. Carpet burn premium double, brand X. Man, it was bad. And I tore it up. But I was looking and thinking, holy junk, this looks exactly like what Granscom complained about. And I whimpered and whined all flipping day about this stupid knee. It's still got a huge scab over it right now. I mean, I was whimpering and whining all day about that. And it hit me. I was honking at my son. And this is probably what he was feeling. I was being a big old turd. An humble pie. Compassion, so very important. Big humble pie slice for me. Number four, I don't always hear the story out. I'll tell you a story about this. Just the other day, I was sitting there, and we were in the other room, and all of a sudden, we heard a crash and a boom, and we heard Charlotte, the two-year-old, squealing and screaming, and her and my foster kiddo, Sweet Tea, are thick as thieves, and a lot of times, she kind of has a tendency to get a little rougher with Charlotte. And so Anna came in there, and I was just like, no, I know what's going on here. Dad, you need to listen. And I was like, nope, this is, and I know, and this is what, and I went in there, and finally Anna grabbed me by the hand and said, Dad, listen to me. He goes, Charlotte was scratching her little face, and all she did was push her off of her, and she fell off the bed. Well, see, I was getting ready to come in there and drop the hammer of Thor or something like that. And the reality was, I need to stop and hear it out. And so I have a bad tendency to assume that I know what happened when I don't. And I need to spend much more time slowing down and hearing the story out. But a lot of times, I just want the crying to stop. You know, I don't want to stop and listen and hear it out. Number five is the last one, and we'll wrap it up for today. I have a tendency to want to take the easy way out. Now, I don't just mean this in some kind of general type thing here. I mean, I really have a tendency to look for the easy way to get through it. You know, sometimes, you know, Charlotte's at that age, my two-year-old, she's at that age to where she's into everything. She's getting into all the stuff. She climbs, she makes these multi-stack tiered, you know, temples of doom and climbs up onto the tables and gets apples and then eats two or three holes in them and then leaves them on the ground and stuff like that. Always pulling stuff down, opening up the thing of hairbands and dumping them all out and getting into mama's makeup bag and all this other stuff. I mean, she just has a tendency to get into everything. And I have this desire as I'm working on the house or whatever else that I just want to take Charlotte and I just want to stick her in her room and just leave her there. We have one of those little safety gates that you can put up and string over it. And I have that tendency just to want to put her in there and to not interact with her. Let's see, that was a slice of humble pie. As awesome as I think as my steps forward have been, I have to take a look at these five things and say, you know what? That's five different levels I can take my parenting to. For all the things that I do, for all the things that I say and believe, for all the things that I have actually put into practice. Because let me tell you guys, this is a radio show where I practice what I preach. For all those things that I do, I still have some big things here to modify, to streamline, to make it more parentodynamic. So my question, my challenge for you today is, what are your humble pie slices? What are your one, your two, your five, your ten things that you know, man, I got to get this. Prioritize them. It's the number one most important thing that you've got to square away in your life. My biggest one is this yelling crap. I've got to make this stop. I'm going to make this stop. I'm going to make this yelling thing go away. Because it is demeaning to my kids. I'm going to make this stop. Prioritize them. What's the number one thing? And then you work on it. What do I do, Trey? I don't care. What works for you? There's a trillion, kabajillion, dillion things. You like that number? That I could recommend. But what works for you? What do you know is going to work for you to get things to stop? And then go do it. Put it into practice. For some people, that's going to be bringing in other people with it. For some people, that's going to be including your spouse. For some people, that's going to be setting a reminder on your phone. I don't know. If you need help, go Google search change a habit. But change a habit. So my challenge for you today, what are your top 5, 10, whatever? Put them in priority and start working on them. Take that parenting to the next level. Because I'm telling you, you've got beautiful things in store for you. Outside of being better yourself, outside of all the other pieces to the how it affects you, you're creating kids that get to see you be this way as well. You got kids that understand and acknowledge that mom and dad are not perfect, that mom and dad screw up, that mom and dad drop the ball. But I see them every time they do. They get back in that saddle and they ride. I want to be like that. All right, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Make sure you come join us this Friday where Jeff and I will sit down for our next episode of the Real Family Guys podcast. We love our Friday shows. Come check us out. Well, all right, guys, nothing else. Hope you guys have a great day and a great week. We'll see you guys on Friday.